go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubecker, your host. Happy to be here again this week with you. Thanks for joining me. This week, we're going to dive into an interesting topic, and it's actually many topics in one. So I've been fielding a lot of questions lately, all centered around starting a business, things to do, things not to do, everything from structure to financing to who do I need on my team, who do I don't need, where do I start. So I have a whole list of about 25 or 30 here that I've just been compiling. And today we're going to do a podcast episode just on these questions. Just going to be a rapid fire answer thing. It's questions people sent in over the course of the last week or two. And we're just going to answer them all right here. If there's any topics that we cover today that you really want us to dive into deeper at some point later, I'll send us a message and let us know, and we'll certainly give that some consideration. If we start getting a bunch of requests for the same thing, guess what? We're going to absolutely do it. The first question we hear most often, probably, and one that always comes up is, you know, what structure should I use for my company? You know, should I use a C corp? Should I use an S corp? Should I use an LLC? Or should I just leave everything in my name as a sole proprietor? Well, that discussion is really one more that you should actually have with your attorney and your accountant, and they will probably actually give you different answers. I can tell you that of the companies that I have C-Corps, I have S-Corps, and I have LLCs. Nothing I have is in a sole proprietorship because myself, I really like the protection that the other entities offer and the ability to keep things separate. So I would highly suggest either S-Corp or LLC for most things. But again, ask your lawyer, ask your accountant. Those two will need to work together to both create the entity and make sure that it's set up right so you are protected. And then also do the taxes and try to pay as little taxes as legally possible through the way things are structured also, because structure does make a huge difference in how things are taxed. I won't get into all that right now because that's actually not my wheelhouse. I know just enough to be dangerous, so I will spare you. Next one on the list here is kind of redundant. It says, should I incorporate my business? I think personally you should either incorporate it or do an LLC. There's advantages of both, a lot of similarities, a couple differences. But you want to do some sort of an entity to make sure to keep things separate and to make sure that you're protecting your personal assets and keeping that separate from your business. These days, with lawsuits flying around all over the place for sometimes silly things, it definitely makes much more sense to try to protect yourself and protect the things that you've built over the years as much as you possibly can. The next one we've got on the list is, how should I fund my business? Well, that's an interesting question. The one thing I would tell you is, I believe that in the beginning, you should start out with your own money. Personally, I won't take anybody's money or ask anybody for money on most of my ventures until I've put my own in. That helps me to make sure that everything is solid. I double check everything because it's just a fact of life. You are going to be most protective of your own money. So make sure that you start out with your own. Don't worry about the financing thing if you don't have to. Don't worry about trying to get venture capital, all those things. Worry about getting your business off the ground and hustle and do whatever means necessary to get that done. Next question is should I have potential investors or people that may be helping me with my business but are not employees sign a NDA so that they don't steal what I'm doing? Well, that is a valid concern, and yes, absolutely. Big believer in NDAs, although the thing that you have to realize, though, is an NDA is just a piece of paper, just like a non-compete or anything else, and you have to have the funds available to enforce it. So if you're not in a position where you are able to hire a lawyer to enforce anything you're having people sign, then you are simply wasting your time. that's just my two cents anyway. The next one is, how much should I be willing to give up equity to get things done or to investors that may want a piece of my business? Well, here's the thing. People don't realize in the beginning so much because in the beginning, your company doesn't really have much value. Your company starts out and the value is very small, so you don't think much of giving up equity. However, fast forward 5 years of hard work, it could be a lot bigger number, and therefore there could be a bigger issue of the equity that you gave up. Now, for example, say you give up 40% equity. Well, if your company is worth $10,000, then you just gave up $4,000, and well, it's not just not that much money. Now, if your company is worth $100,000, then you just gave up $40,000. $1 million, you just gave up $400,000. If it gets to the point where it's worth $10 million, now you just gave up $4 million. See how as things go on, that number is a lot more important. So my best advice would be, don't give up any equity unless you absolutely have to. You know, if there is a tactical reason, like if there is someone that you're going to go into partnership with that you are absolutely sure that they are the best and that they will grow your business so much and that they will be such an asset to you, and that the only way that you can put the golden handcuffs on them, if you will, is to make sure that they're actually part of the company as an owner, then by all means, it makes sense. But just throwing around equity for this and for that and try to save yourself from outlying cash in the beginning, to me, it's typically not a great idea. I've seen a lot of people get burned, and I've seen like people millions and millions of dollars that they could have had more when they gave up equity for like a song in the beginning. Ooh, this is a good one. How can I come up with a name for my business? Well, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. I mean, you can certainly engage a marketing agency right away. But I would just urge you to definitely be creative. Pick something out of the box. Try to be a little different. Try to not sound like everybody else. And try to come up with some sort of a theme that can make it you easier to remember and to make it easier for people to find you and remember your name. You know, if your name sounds like everybody else, then you're probably going to fall into the cracks with everybody else. Like, for example, say you were opening a plumbing company and you just decided to use your initials and it was like KWS Plumbing or something like that. Well, do you have any idea how many plumbing companies are around with just a few initials in front of it or even just a common name? They don't really stand out. Like say you have your trucks lettered up and that you have all your contact information on your trucks. Unless someone's able to whip out their phone and take a picture of it, odds are they're not going to remember that name. Now, say you came up with like a theme, like say you were Busy Bee Pump Plumbing or something like that. And, you know, you were able to have your trucks themed up, you know, with say you come up with a plumber that looks like a bee or, you know, something that is easy to remember, has colors on it that pop, and that people can remember. It would make all the difference for folks as they see your truck driving around. Say, oh, yeah, who did I call? Oh, yeah, now I remember. It was the Bee Guys. And then with any luck, even if they search Bee Plumbing or Busy Plumbing or whatever, they will find you. Whereas if you had something a lot more common, Google might not know what to do with it. They might not remember seeing your truck. They might not remember your website, all those sorts of things. So I would definitely encourage you just to be unique and just try to make sure you break the mold, if you will, a little bit. What are the biggest challenges to starting a business? Ooh, there's just so many of them. One of the ones, especially as you grow, is hiring is always something that's hard to do. And even knowing when to fire is good. It is a good one because you don't always know. And it definitely takes some time to figure that out. I always tell people the best rule of thumb is to hire slow and fire fast. If your gut's telling you that someone's not a good fit, it's probably right. The other thing I would tell you is from the beginning is definitely come up with your core values, kind of what you stand for as a person, what your company is going to stand for. And then when you start hiring and fire, it's always done by the litmus test of that. Do these people align with these core values? Do their actions align with the core values? And if they don't, then you need to take immediate action and find out why they're not aligning. Come up with a product or a service that's unique. If you don't think about it from the beginning, that can be difficult. Even taking the time to make sure your business plan is right. Yeah, you know, the other challenge people always have, and this is kind of a universal one, is just money. Having the cash to start it and to do it right, and to make sure that your launch is successful and that you get rolling. There's just so many. We could talk about that one actually for hours, and maybe we will hit that later at another time. Well, here's a good one. What type of business should I start? Well, that's really for you to decide, not for me. But I would just the encouragement I would give you is pick something you either have done for a length of time and are intimately attached to the industry. Pick something you're very passionate about, because then you'll be willing to learn. So even if you haven't done it for a long time, you will have the zest to really dig into it and to make it better. And I also say, hey, pick something where that you think there's a gap. So they think that there's something that you can do different, or that you can do better, or that you can do more uniquely than everybody else's. So to make sure it's an opportunity, I always tell people, they don't be a commodity business. If you're going to be the same as everybody else next door to you, then you can just go out of business that quick. You need to find a differentiator that will make people come to you instead of everybody else. What are the biggest mistakes people make when starting up a business? Well, that kind of goes hand in hand with the challenges we just talked about, but we'll talk a little bit about these. Biggest mistakes: not having enough money, not budgeting correctly, not coming up with a business plan, not having a name and identity that's unique, not being willing to adapt and overcome problems that are in the way, not taking the time to research your competitors, hiring the wrong people, not hiring enough people, hiring too many people, and not pricing things correctly for their market. And that can go back to just not knowing what the price should be. How do I find the domain name I want? Well, typically I always suggest to people to try to stick with the .coms if possible. But so many good ones are taken. So many good ones. A lot of those that are taken, though, are not being used. So you can certainly go to networksolutions.com and search for it. And of course, try to type it in and see if a website comes up. But you can certainly take and make sure that it's actually being used and it's actually a company. If that's the case, then you should probably find something different. But I typically, like really early in the game, like taking and having my name of my company. I'll be searching for domain names exactly as we're coming up with it. Like when we came up with Valhalla Research, we did it that way. We tried to come up with something that was a little bit different and in the firearms industry, but also to make sure that it wasn't colliding and there was no confusion with anything else that was already out there. When we came up with Sheepdog Firearms, there was already the Sheepdog out there in the space a little bit. But in that case, we actually found that sheepdogfirearms.com was available. The person that had it wasn't using it, and they just wanted a good chunk of money for it, which at the time we thought was definitely worth for us to spend. And it's been a great investment. Do I need a business plan? Here's a short answer. Yes. It doesn't need to be 5 million pages, but it needs to lay out all the important things, and more importantly, all the numbers. The numbers have to work. It's either a yes or a no. Is there an opportunity to make money doing this business or not? And if there's not, then you're doing something wrong in your business plan, or it's just not an industry that has easy point of entry into, which there are some like that. Again, doesn't need to be 5 million pages, but it needs to lay out customer avatar. What's the product you're selling? What's the product priced at? How does that compare to the competition? A competitive analysis, probably a SWOT analysis. Those would be a good thing to start with, but there's lots of great business plan templates out there. I'd highly suggest to you use one, because it can help you get your thoughts in order. And it's interesting, because as I went through business plans with different businesses over the years, I found that a lot of times by going through the business plan, I will talk myself out of it. And for me, that's really my goal. I really want to find an issue with what I want to do. I want to talk myself out of starting a business. Because if I can make it past that litmus test, make it over those hurdles, then I know I have a pretty reasonably good chance at success in that industry. Where can I get my business funded? Of course, you can use your own money, which is kind of preferable in the beginning. You know, if you had to, you can certainly use some financing of yourself, whether it's a home and equity loan, whether it's credit cards. If you really had to, you could ask friends and family, but personally, I don't know that I would do that. That just can make things pretty awkward. If it's a product-based business especially, I would highly suggest checking out like Kickstarter or Indiegogo. It makes it easy, even if a product isn't fully 100% baked, to really gauge the market demand by seeing how many people will actually put their money into it. That can make all the difference. When should I hire employees? You'll know. It's different for every business. Some businesses you can go some solopreneur for quite a while. Some of them you need some staff right away. I would always just say, especially when you start looking at your own time, when you start running out of time or you start getting stressed, you probably need to hire someone to take some stuff off your plate so you can focus on the things that you're really good at. In the beginning, we all have to wear a lot of hats, and that's just part of the starting a business game. But we can try to get away from that, and we have to get away from that as soon as we want to scale, because that just doesn't work. How do I keep track of my business finances? Well, there's a few things you can do. I mean, you can certainly hire someone to do bookkeeping for you. In the beginning, depending upon what kind of business you have, it may have a POS system that you have to purchase, you know, point of sale. Or you may, if it's a service-based business, maybe you can just keep track in QuickBooks of everything. We use QuickBooks online for all of our businesses. It goes deep enough for what we need to do, and it makes us easy for anyone who needs to access it on our team from anywhere, and even our contract accountant and stuff. So QuickBooks Online has kind of been the gold standard for, especially for starting out. What kind of insurance does your business need? Well, not an insurance guy. There's a lot of good ones out there. I can certainly hook you up with one. But just some things to think about, some questions to ask of your insurance guy is you probably need some regular liability insurance. And if you're a product, use maybe some product. You know, if you're providing professional services, there would be a professional liability or errors and omission. If you own or rent property as part of it, you have to have property insurance. If you have employees, you have to have workers' comp in most states, or probably all states. Sometimes you might want a D&O or directors and officers policy to protect from certain things. Depending on how many employees you have and how many big, you may want to offer health insurance. If you have vehicles, you need auto insurance. One thing I highly suggest, especially if you have any critical data, you look into a data breach or cybersecurity insurance. My partner and I are starting up a company, and we can't come to terms on how to divide the equity. Well, that's really not something I can answer for you, but I can give you some good ideas. I mean, one thing, of course, that tends to decide who gets what equity is what you're bringing to the table. You know, it's going to be a tough pill to swallow, but is your partner more valuable than you are? Or are you more valuable? Or are you equal in value? Is your partner bringing more money? Are they throwing in 80% of the startup funds? Are you throwing in 20? Or is it 50-50? You know, of course, if everything's equal, that makes it the easiest, but there really is no easy answer to, you know, how to divide it up. It really has to be something that you guys come to terms with. And there can be a lot of different negotiations or different ways to do that. But in the end, you just need to make sure that everybody's open and honest about how they feel and that everyone puts everything on the table, because I can tell you that there are more and more times that you're going to have conflicts if you don't believe that your distribution of equity is equal. Because remember that if you ever exit that company in the future, that equity means how much of the sale price do you get, and even how much of the dividends you get. And so compensation is going to be highly, highly tied to equity. Especially for smaller companies that are, of course, private. So another thing, of course, is control. You know, if someone's got 51%, depending on how your operating agreement is written, they may always have the upper hand. So those are all things to think about. I hope me diving into those were beneficial. Again, if there's any specific topics you want me to cover, please reach out and let me know, and I would be happy to dive in for you. If you need some deeper help, or if you want someone to come alongside you in your startup, we can certainly get you enrolled in the Tactical Entrepreneur Academy and teach you a lot of things that you really need to know. Or we do also have coaching programs with my team, group coaching, as well as individual coaching with me. If there's something I can do to help you out, please hit us in the DMs and we will get you to the right person on our team to help. Thanks again for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur. If there is someone that needs to hear this message or someone you think this could benefit, please share it with them. Please subscribe and please check out our social media. We will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.